拍拍一点。
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Aiken City Council meeting on August the 10th, 2009. We're glad to have everyone here. Appreciate you coming out. And as we talk about items, if anyone wants to talk on a special issue, special item, we certainly give you an opportunity to do so. As we begin, if you would, stand with us for a prayer and a pledge of allegiance.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity of coming together. And we seek your will, and we just seek your wisdom, Father, that you would give us clarity on the many issues before us. We thank you, Father, for this great city that you've given us with so many citizens who volunteer their time and give it themselves so that all of us might be able to have the freedoms we have, both in our city, in our state, in our country. We ask that you be with us and guide us and direct us throughout this evening. We ask your blessings upon it. In your name, amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda this evening? If not, do we have a motion and a second to approve the agenda as written?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr.
Okay.
Mayor.
All right. All, show of hands, please. All in favor of approval of the agenda as written. Passes unanimously. Under old business, the first item, the only item, is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance approving sublease of a hangar at the Aiken Airport by Abbas Avionics Incorporated. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by its title. It's an ordinance approving a sublease between Aiken Aviation Enterprise Incorporated and Abbas Avionics Incorporated. The FBO would like to go ahead and sublease part of his property to this company. We have been looking for a company like this for a long time, one that will go ahead and be able to repair the radio equipment of the many planes that go in and out of the airport. According to our contract that we have with the FBO, any sublease must be approved by City Council. You approved this on the first reading in July, and this is the second reading and public hearing of an ordinance approving a hangar sublease by Abbas Avionics Incorporated.
Well, thank you, sir. This is the second reading public hearing, so if there's anyone in the audience who would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move for approval of the sublease of the hangar at the Aiken Airport.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I think I missed the consideration of the minutes, maybe. Or did we do that now?
You missed voting on that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, we'll add that. So it's unanimous. Did we miss it totally?
Yeah.
We missed it totally.
Okay, that's my fault. I'm sorry. Then let's have a vote on the...
I move we accept the minutes.
On the consideration of the minutes.
Second,
any, okay, we have a second. Any discussion on the minutes? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay. Thank you, Beverly, very much. Under new business, first item is approval to accept 1.1 acres of land from Gorman Ridgely, who is in with us. He and his wife, Donna, are with us tonight. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yeah, yes, sir. The city council is where a few years ago we purchased the sewer system in Gem Lakes from Carolina Utilities due to some problems that were occurring out there. Up until that time, they had a lagoon to treat the water and then what they call a finishing pond right below it, and then a spray field. For the last few years, we've been working with Mr. Gorman Ridgely concerning this, due to the fact that we have a lift station that is just upstream from his property and large pond that he owns along his property, we have gone ahead and added some additional equipment there due to the fact that we had an overflow a few years ago. And we feel that he has now made us an offer, and that is to give us a 1.1 acre piece of property, which was the old finishing pond. We would then use that old finishing pond for any diversion in case there ever was an overflow in the future. We have not had one in the past several years. We don't anticipate having one, but you never know when you're dealing with mechanical equipment and storms and other things of that nature of a possible problem. We are very thankful for what he is offering to us, and if you have any questions, he's here tonight, but we would urge City Council to consider the acceptance of the donation of this 1.1 acre of land so that we could use it for any overflow that may be necessary in the future.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Does Council have any questions on this, you think? Would you like to ask Mr. Ridgely? Okay, fine. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that we approve the acceptance of the 1.1 acres of land donated by Mr. Gorman Ridgely, I'm sorry, to be used, if needed, as an overflow area for sewers during any emergency that we might have.
Okay. I'll second it. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us, and you can stay.
And I'd like to just thank him personally. He has been great to work with. We have been working with this, some storm drainage issues, some other things, and he's been a real gentleman through this whole thing and just very patient through this long, arduous process that we've been going through to get this land, and this is a very nice donation as he's going to go ahead and purchase the rest of this property. So thank you.
He has a wife that's very patient as well.
Absolutely. And I'd like to thank him also. We go back a long way.
Certainly.
Around Riverside, working with the retirees and further back than that, even. Yeah. So thank you, Gorman, for all you've done, and Donna also, to help our community.
Okay.
Item 2 is approval of the COPS hiring program grant. Mr. LeDoux.
Yes. During the budget process, I had mentioned to you that we had frozen 9 positions, 3 which were public safety officers, and we knew that this grant was going to be available to us, and that is why we came to the budget process still having those positions frozen. We did apply, and we received a grant recently saying that we will have 4 positions. The grant will be for 3 years, totals $568,280, and will cover 100% of the officer's salaries and benefits. So this is a very nice grant. The only requirement is that you keep these 4 officers on for another additional year. Well, we were planning on filling those 3 positions anyway, so that's not a problem. And in the next 3 years, we'll probably add more than 1 additional position on top of these. So having the 4 individuals there for an additional year is going to be no problem on our part. And so we strongly would recommend the council accept the grant under the COPS Hiring Recovery Program in the amount of $568,280 for 4 new officers.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
Move for approval, Mr. Mayor, on the approval of the COPS Hiring Program grant.
Okay. We have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 3, approval of Clemson Green Infrastructure Proposal. Mr. LeDoux, please.
Yes, sir. Most of you will recall that on June 22nd, Dr. Gene Eitzen came before City Council and talked about the work that we have upcoming that will be utilizing the parkways, to accept the storm drainage runoff instead of going directly into the storm drainage system, then into the woods. This grant of $3.3 million and the work that's associated with it, that Clemson is going to be proceeding forward on, is all eligible for the design phase and the construction phase. But after they get built, we want to go ahead and keep them on a retainer for the next couple of years to go ahead and determine what things need to change, what things do we need to do differently in the future, how much water is really being dissipated through the system that we have. And so we have worked up a proposal where they will work with us over the next few years and to monitor all the wells that we'll be putting in, the vegetation that will be there, and they will continue to work with us as we're going to be applying for additional grants. So they have given us a proposal for this work for $126,359. We do have money within our 1 cent sales tax from our lost funds for the Hitchcock Woods project that we could pay them to do this work. We reviewed the proposal and recommended to council so that they could continue with the process that has been started for the stormwater infiltration monitoring evaluation phase two in the amount of $126,359, and that is coming before you tonight for your approval.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
I move for approval of the fire truck purchase, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussions?
I just have a question. Okay. You didn't mean the fire trucks. You meant the Clemson.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong thing. I meant the Clemson what? Infrastructure, green infrastructure. I know that I was trying to reread that letter. And
I'll second both.
I do have a question. In our packet was a letter from John Wade,
yes,
who's here tonight.
I was just reading
I'm not
that.
Sure whether it relates to this particular item or to the construction in general that we talked about previously, but I think he has a concern about whether we're going to do anything to the parkways and underground utilities. He can probably speak for himself, but I don't know whether it's appropriate to discuss at this time or not, but I certainly want to acknowledge the letter.
John, I took it to mean the actual construction that'll be done
right in
the park. But you may say anything you want to about that. If you want, let us get through this issue. And if you want to say anything about your letter, we thank you so much for writing it and giving us your thoughts. But we have a second. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
So just tell me what this 126 is going to do in a nutshell.
After the construction is completed, they will continue to monitor what we have in place to determine what works best. It's basically putting together some best practice management. We will be applying for some additional grant money to look at other parkways and to do some more work in the future. And the results that we get from this using Clemson will go a long way in applying for these grants.
So it's some construction and then the monitoring?
The construction work is going to be paid for under the grant. The plans have already been developed. They're going to go out for bid later this month, and we'll probably start construction in the October-November time frame.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Clemson will be monitoring that, and they will be actually doing some work during the construction phase,
okay,
but that's paid for out of the $3.3
million.
That is
not part of this then at all. Okay.
No, this is going to be more the educational piece that will be with it as we move forward after the construction is over.
Roger, the local option sales tax funds, the 126, I was trying to remember whether that was on the
We have $3.5 million in the 1 cent sales tax for work at Hitchcock Woods. And so we could take the 126 from that $3.5 million.
Okay.
So we have a funding source for it.
Okay.
When would it be appropriate to consider Mr. Wade's concerns?
Anytime that council wants to hear about them.
John, since you're here, you don't want to talk about it?
Would you like to address us right now? We'll do it right in between this item and the next.
John Wade, 1180 Cornish. My concerns were in the construction end of it, not this. I think they need this monitoring to bring you further through the project. But mine would be on the construction end of the infrastructure that's already there, that we don't destroy it. Any infrastructure that needs replacing, that it gets replaced so we don't destroy the new bioswales or whatever's going in that area. And then also a training program for developers, contractors in this area, because I see that as paying three or four fold of what this $3-something million will do in the long run for Aiken, educating the people.
Yeah, the Clemson, what you just voted on, will be doing the last phase of what John just mentioned, in that what we learn from this, we'll be able to then write up papers, we'll be able to go ahead and get out educational materials to developers and contractors so that this type of procedure could be used in future developments and future projects and replicated in the future. Mm-hmm. The first couple of things, which is the infrastructure and what's out there, the design drawings indicate hopefully all the underground infrastructure that's there. And, of course, that would all be taken care of it during the construction phase.
So that'll be upgraded to current standards, because there's a lot of sewer and water lines that are in pretty bad shape in this town. And I see that they seem to get overlooked sometime, and maybe that's because that's the industry that I'm in, but they seem to get overlooked for nice trees and bushes and stuff, and without the support from the sewers and the waters, we don't have the rest of it.
We spend every year about $500,000 to $600,000 replacing water and sewer lines. This is not going to be replacing water and sewer lines, because it cannot be based on the grant parameters that we received. Now, if we run into a sewer line or water line that's interfering, of course, then we'll replace it. But there are very few, if any, water and sewer lines in the middle of the parkways.
And that was my only concern, that we're not going to repeat something that we can fix it while we're there. But the other that concerns me about these reports and stuff that are written up is that we, the lay people, are given a piece of paper, and this is what, and I said it in the letter, this is what the city did, and now we want you to do what we did. Whereas if an ongoing training program of some type can be implemented, then I think that it would be better for the whole public. And I don't know if there's money left in there for that. I don't know how grants work as to what money you have available to do that with.
John, are you thinking about a training program for the construction, how that's done?
Yes.
Or that kind of thing?
Yes, because I think when you find over a period of time that this is going to be very valuable, and then you're going to want to implement it in these other projects. Somebody has any other type of project, well, I heard about this pervious concrete or pavement or whatever, can you do that? Can you implement that? And you're going to catch people that are totally off guard and not know how to do this type of work. And you've got local people that are willing to work and learn. And I think if you have some type of ongoing program with this project, there's going to be a big learning curve while they're doing the project, but I think that the rest of the contractors can learn with it, so that they'll be more up to speed when you get to a point where you say, now stormwater is a big problem and we need you to do this when your project is being built.
Well, this is very likely to be, if not the first time this has been done, but one of the first times this has been done.
Well, that's what I understood.
In the country, as I understand it.
That's what I understood from the meeting, right, from the people from Clemson. So look at it as Aiken as a whole. Instead of Aiken taking this money and Aiken doing it, the whole community doing it.
And again, we're not gonna, it'll be a contractor that'll be doing it, not us.
Well, I know that.
Okay.
But you have control over some of the money.
Control. I mean, once we let the contract out, we'll be observing and making sure they follow the contracts.
So part of the contract is that we have, or take some money from somewhere else and teach some of it.
I think what I get from your letter is that you want
on-the-job training as to what they're doing so that whenever a contract in the city has to put together a new development, they know how to avoid some of the pitfalls that cause some of the problems that we have now. Is that what you're saying?
It is.
And the only way to do that would be to put training funds in the grant itself, in the bid itself, and I don't know what that would cost, but when I read your letter, I pretty much thought that's what you wanted.
I don't think, and I could be wrong, and Larry could answer this, but I don't believe the construction is going to be that out of the ordinary that most anybody who could follow the set of plans could go ahead and do it.
How many people have in the Aiken area, Augusta area, have experience with pervious concrete or asphalt?
Oh, okay. So you're not talking about the stuff in the parkways then?
I'm talking the whole project.
Pervious concrete and asphalt, probably two of them, you say, Larry? And there's dozens around the country that have done pervious asphalt and the paver bricks and stuff like this.
Roger. During this process, there's no doubt that Clemson, as well as the city of Aiken, will be documenting the progress that's made. And as the work is going on, I'm sure, with this being such a historic time and program, I would think that after that, a presentation could be put together.
I really think so.
Which may even be done by our Public Works Department or by engineering to bring in, host the contractors, if you wish, and go through and show them the actual process that this went through and the materials that was used, how it was installed. And, I mean, I know there's additional education out there for anybody who wishes to learn these things. But, you know, something like that may even whet their appetite and get them more interested in, you know, pervious surfaces. I would think that it would be something that would be done as far as filming or taping, you know, what really goes on during this whole process so that a presentation could be done at that time to any contractors or anyone in that business that would be interested in looking at it from an overview and then being able to go out there and actually see the end results as well.
I would think that the term, at least the term of the contract, would be that we get drawings. And we'd have the drawings, and as you say, it could be videoed. Parts of it could be videoed, or whatever the essential parts were that might not be understandable to others as we go through. I think the information is going to be there, John, too.
But I also think it would be a good idea. I think it is a good idea that something is learned from the process by a variety of different people, not just contractors. Maybe I just remembered when we first started planning parkways and beautifying the city the way we've got it now, that the horticulturists did workshops and educated people on what he was doing and how best to do some of the things. Might have been his own time, it might have been just speaking to different clubs, but I do think that if the contractors are interested, I think there would be nothing wrong with putting the drawings up and inviting them in to see what's going on and look at the progress. Pretty much as we get updates, they could get updates.
Let me ask Larry, do you have any thoughts on this subject? How it could be done and what John's talking about? And what you would expect to get out of this, you know, for further use?
I appreciate the invite. I'm so excited about this project, it's a little hard to sit still with it. Part of what Clemson will be doing, if you read the grant that y'all just passed, is actually installing equipment. So during a rain event, let's say it rains an inch downtown, they will be able to tell real time, it'll be on our website, where anyone can look at it, and especially, Ms. Clyburn, we were pointing this toward the school system so they could pull it up on the website real time and say, hey, we have an inch of rain, but instead of an inch of rain going into Hitchcock Woods, three-fourths of it or two-thirds of it or whatever is actually going into the ground and working this way. So that's going to be one of the major components, is public education through that website, and it'll be real time. The other thing that we're really looking for Clemson to work with this money that we have is to help us develop best management practices. What we want to achieve as a city and what we're going to be looking for as Public Works is to be able to transfer this to developers. What we would like to be able to do right now, if you look in our code of regulations, we have to have detention structures. We have to have these big ponds. They have to be fenced. And true, we can plant things around them, but basically there's still a big hole in the ground that stormwater goes into and flows out of eventually. We want this, and Clemson's data and research is critical to us, to be able to come back and say, maybe we don't need this big of a hole out there. Let's use some of these practices that we've learned on and that we have to be able to put it back into our code of regulations, back into our planning and zoning regulations, and say, let's use this instead of a big hole in the ground. That's another thing that we're really shooting for. And the Clemson folks are very amenable to working with us on that. I think as the construction goes through, one thing that they will be doing is to use a phrase, they'll be walking in front of the bulldozer. We want to protect the utilities. We want to protect the trees and things out there as much as possible, and then beautify it and come back so that what we have is something the developer can not only use, but use in an economical sense, because eventually the city gets all of these detention ponds, and we have to maintain them and go out and cut them once a year and clean the things out of them. And if we can do these projects and these practices without having that expense, we're money ahead, and that's kind of where we're pointing towards. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of the vision that we have for it. I can see in the future, in a couple of years after everything is settled down and it's all matured and our plants have matured, bringing school classes in, bringing classes from the universities in and saying, this is what we did, this is what you're looking at, and being able to document it, and being able to hand the developers a design manual, if you will, a very small one because it doesn't need to cover a lot of material, but one that then they can take and instead of digging a big hole in the ground, put in something that's going to actually look nice and also handle the water. So that's what we're shooting for.
I have a question to ask John. Have you seen this proposal that we've got in our hand?
I just saw it tonight.
Okay.
And started reading some of this.
The information here, I would think, would be of interest to you, but also included in this document, it states that there will be journals taken by the folks that are working with this project. That being said, I'm assuming that they will have some PhD candidates or postgraduate candidates alongside some of these folks that are doing the work to document all this, which leads into programs in, I would hope, 2 and 4 year institutions to train the next generation of leaders on this kind of work. So that being said, you're in the business of wanting to do some of this, and hopefully that will spill off with your interest as well in terms of being more informed in terms of how to do this kind of work as well.
And I just started reading that when I got here tonight, mm-hmm. So some of my questions were answered mm-hmm. in the letter that I'd written. And I do hear what Larry's saying, but I still feel that some types of hands-on situations, whether they're actually physically hands-on but on job site training benefits, especially the older people, myself, mm-hmm. and the older contractors, you tend to get set in your ways on certain things, and it's harder to see what's coming that's new and how you're going to benefit from it. And I think that in the long run, at some point in time, you've got to weed all of us out. and the newer generation, if they're taught, then they'll be okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
But you still got to deal with us, the older generation, for a time.
Who's still working.
You're still working.
Right.
And I'm going to be working for 20 years or more. So.
Okay.
That's my point.
Okay.
Larry, I want to ask you a question, Larry. You, not you necessarily, but a member of your team, Public Works team, will be working with these folks at least from time to time, observing what's going on.
We plan on having one of our people with them on a daily basis. I don't know that I can devote 8 hours of his time to it, but what I'm hearing John say is what we want to be able to develop our regulations around, so that when we do have this and someone says, well, gee, I can dig a detention pond, but how do I do this? I can take that person, the journals, the drawings we have, and go out and say, okay, this is how you do it.
Okay, that's exactly what I was going to try to get to, is that you will have the knowledge within the Public Works.
That's what we're planning.
Let's put it that way.
That's what we're planning.
That you can tell folks, you can have seminars if necessary, you can go out there and point out this, that, and the other thing as to how it was done.
Part of our discharge permit that we have for our stormwater through the state DHEC is that we do have a public education program, and this is going to become the linchpin of that program. Definitely, as we have discussed this with the Clemson folks and even with our engineers with Wolpert, that we'll be developing enough material, the journals that Ms. Price was pointing out, so that we will have public education. And then there's no proof like going and seeing. And I can envision being able to bring groups in and say, okay, this is what was done. And that's also public education.
Right. Yes, sir. Okay. Thank you.
I think that's basically all you're asking, is that
Mr. Wade's talking about.
Somebody shows me.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. John, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Now, plenty out there that don't know one of the reasons for this, and that is that over the years, of course, a lot of water has gone down into Hitchcock Woods, and there's been considerable erosion. So it's hoped that by doing this in that parks, keeping a considerable amount of water in that parkways, and we don't know how many exactly, but it's going to start between Lawrence and Chesterfield, that a considerable amount of water can be kept out of the woods, if you will. And that will help also reduce some of the cost of a longer-range project that we have to do some piping, underground piping in the woods. So it's going to be a cost savings from that respect, and it's going to be a good use of our parks, and also it's going to beautify our parks because there's going to be additional landscaping there. And the hope is, and we've been told this, that hopefully we would not interfere with any trees in any of the parks. So it's really a win-win situation all around. And as Larry's excited, we're all excited about this project. Does anyone know exactly when they might start construction? Have we heard anything, Roger?
The plans will be out for bid later this month. Normally it takes another 30 days. Then it takes 30 days after that to review it. By the time you sign your contract documents, we're probably 90 days away. So that's
good.
August, September, October. So we're looking sometime mid-fall to start construction on it.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
In light of the fact that Clemson really doesn't need a fire truck, I will move that we approve the Clemson Green Infrastructure Proposal.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. Whoa, you're ahead of me here.
Yeah.
What item are you on, Beverly?
I'm on the item that we're on.
Approval of the Clemson
next.
Green Infrastructure
yes.
Proposal. Okay.
I originally
we had, a motion and a second on that.
It was to accept the fire truck, though.
What? Oh, yours was for the fire truck?
Yes.
Okay. So you're back on the right item.
I'm on the right item.
Okay. All right. Was that your motion?
Yes. And Dick seconded.
Who seconded it?
Dick.
Okay. So we're straight now.
Yes.
Okay. Are there any other comments about this item?
It's a good project.
If not, show of hands, please. All in favor. Okay. Passes correctly, unanimously. Okay, item four, approval of a fire truck purchase. Mr. LaDuke, please.
20 years ago, the city of Aiken purchased two fire trucks. These trucks have been in service faithfully for the last 20 years. However, both trucks have had problems almost from the day we got it with its braking system. We've had it in once where they overhauled the brakes completely. But we recently had an accident where one of our trucks just couldn't stop, and we're starting to have more braking problems with it. The recommendation of the safety committee and our risk manager is that we no longer use those trucks. I've already asked our public safety department to go out for bids on a new truck. Based on the fact that we bought a new pumper and a ladder truck this past year, we do not have to replace both trucks. We only have to replace one of them. We have $470,000 in reserves for the purchase of trucks. One truck will cost us approximately $250,000. We have plenty of money to buy this truck, and it's not in the budget, so we're asking that council consider approval of a new fire truck to be paid for on depreciation funds for approximately $250,000.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the new fire truck to be paid out of the depreciation fund, and I'm going to use the quote for the approximate cost of $250,000.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
We have a second. Okay. Any discussion?
Just once again an opportunity to express appreciation to our financial management that we've been able to depreciate this over the years, so all of a sudden when we need the new truck, we've got the money for it. So.
Thank you, Rod.
The other thing about it is because we do not have to replace both of them, the good news is we could take the $220,000 that's in excess and put it back into our depreciation fund for other equipment. So
that's a great
double win out of this.
Very good. Okay. We've got a motion and a second. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Approval? Passes unanimously. Item 5 is a resolution approving a boundary line agreement. Mr. LaDuke.
Yes, this one is 25 years ago. The city purchased approximately 350 acres of land off of Reynolds Pond Road. We actually purchased Reynolds Pond and the area around it. It's upstream of our intake for our surface plant called Shaw's Creek. When the property was originally surveyed back then, We had no problem until the estate of Virginia C. Porter came to us recently and said that they feel that a boundary marker was misplaced. We then looked into it, had our surveyor get together with their surveyor, and indeed they're correct. And of the 350 acres, there's approximately 0.32 acres that are in dispute, and we agree with the resurvey that they gave us, which is on Exhibit A. So for your consideration tonight, this is approval of resolution approving a new boundary line agreement between the City of Aiken and the estate of Virginia C. Porter.
Okay. Thank you, sir. One question. Is any cost associated with that?
No. They did the survey, and we just confirmed it.
Okay. All right. Do we have a motion and a second?
So move. Move we approve this resolution about the boundary line.
Second.
Okay. Do we have a second? Anybody second?
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, thanks, Beverly. Any other comments? Any comments? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay, that's all on the agenda. However, we do, if council agrees, we need to go into executive session to have attorney talk to us about a legal matter. And so do we have a motion and a second for that?
Mr. Mayor, I move to go into executive session.
Okay. I'll second it. Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Sir?
You can stay.
Yes. Oh, okay. I thought it was something different.
I've never been there
before. The police chief of Charleston.
Returned from executive session. and where we heard a legal briefing from our attorney, and no action was taken. And so let's vote to come out of executive session. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor of coming out of executive session? Okay. Passes unanimously. So we are out of executive session and nothing took place other than the briefing and the executive session. We are adjourned. I repeated myself.
Next meeting, September 10th.